This ESPN Radio Daily Podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. To get a free quote on car insurance, call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com. You could save hundreds. Now that's Progressive. This is the ESPN Radio Daily Podcast.
Here's our guy in Philly, Sal Palantonio. Philly, what's everybody think that, Sal, what's everybody think this morning?
Well, people are, you know, they're more annoyed that they did it on Easter Sunday. Frankly. I mean, you know, this was a long time coming, Michael. I mean, it's been 2 months in the making. It's been really 2 years ever since the Eagles redid Donovan McNabb's contract but didn't give him an extension. People knew that the end of the McNabb era was happening. It was close, and yesterday was the final news. But nobody expected it, A, to happen on Easter Sunday. I mean, you know, I'm a good Catholic boy. I mean, I work on Christmas football season. I work on Thanksgiving football season, but I don't work on Easter, okay? That's like, you know, you have the ham and the lasagna, you go to church, and then you don't even mow the lawn on Easter Sunday. You just hang out with the family. But they had a big press conference last night, and people were shocked that they traded him within the division. And really, they did a lot of dancing yesterday to try to justify this decision to trade him to the Washington Redskins. And you have to go back to Bill Belichick trading Drew Bledsoe, I believe it was 2003. But the way Belichick was able to justify trading Bledsoe within the division to the Buffalo Bills was they got a first-round pick. The Eagles got a second-round pick for Donovan McNabb. So I think that is really the overwhelming, you know, well, big question mark in town. As to you had a deal with Oakland. You had a possible deal with Buffalo. Why didn't you do this? And Andy Reid basically let it all out yesterday, saying that he wanted to make right with Donovan McNabb.
Now we'll see if that ends up, to use Greeny's term, biting them in the tuchus as they face them twice a year.
Well, from an interpolitical standpoint, Sal, how did that part of it work out? Because we know Reed and McNabb, whatever the ups and downs have been, Andy wanted to take care of McNabb. Was it his decision to make the deal in the first place? Give us a sense of the politics within the organization to make the trade happen.
Well, that's a very interesting question, and you're right on, Michael, because they have a new general manager, Howie Roseman, and he has been driving the bus in this transformation. Now, let me give you some numbers that I was able to get from ESPN's research department this morning. The Eagles have let go of 12 players this offseason. That's more than any other team in the National Football League. They've added six. The average age of the 12 players that they have let go or traded or just released was 30 years old. The average age of the six players that they added was 25.3 years old. So they've gotten younger. They've also shed $20 million plus in salary obligations. So this is a complete transformation. They only have one player, one position player on their roster 30 years old or older. Juquay Parker, defensive end, is 31. That's the least, the fewest of any team now in the National Football League. So this was a conscious, get younger transformation engineered by their new general manager, and he was the one driving the bus. And Andy Reid was late to the party. He did not want to do this. He didn't wanted to go one more season with Donovan McNabb. He was convinced that this was the right thing to do because McNabb will be an unrestricted free agent next year, and they weren't going to give him a long-term deal, so they might get something for him of value better than a compensatory pick if they lost him as an unrestricted free agent in 2011. So, but the rest of the organization did not want to trade him to the Redskins. Matter of fact, the Redskins were one of the earliest teams to call the Eagles back in February to inquire about McNabb, and they were rebuffed with prejudice because they did not want to trade him within the division. But McNabb's agent, Fletcher Smith, who was in constant contact with the Eagles throughout this process, made it clear to the Eagles that McNabb was not going to Oakland and not going to Buffalo. Now, of course, he could have refused the trade, but he had to show up eventually. But Reed really wanted to make McNabb happy. Paul Domowicz of the Philadelphia Daily News had a great line this morning. He said, sending McNabb to the Raiders would have been the football equivalent of sticking your mother in a state-run nursing home.
No, good.
And I think you know, Andy Reid, when I talked to him last night after the presser, you know, he said he really wanted to do the right thing by Donovan. And sending him to Washington, even though they have an offensive line that's being rebuilt, you know, the Redskins are an organization with a lot of money, you know, a lot of wherewithal. They've got a coach now. He's got two Super Bowl championships on his resume. Runs the same type of offense. I mean, I think this is a pretty good deal for Donovan McNabb, all things considered.
The Redskins can also now use that fourth pick on the big offensive tackle
right.
that everybody likes and start rebuilding that offensive line. Sal, can you hang on a minute?
Yes, sir.
Sal, we know with this situation, all three quarterbacks, McNabb, Cobb, and Vic, had 1 year left on their deal, so they could potentially lose all three to free agency unless they tagged one of them. My question to you is, if all three of these quarterbacks had 3 years left on their deal, would this trade be going down right now?
No, definitely not. I think this was a lot of this was driven by money. They have to pay Donovan McNabb a roster bonus on May 5th of $6.2 million. They owe him $11 million, this season, and they didn't want to rent him for 1 year for $11 million and not know whether or not they were going to have him back. And, I think the decision really at 34 years old is they wanted to move on. And, I think a lot of it was driven by money and finances. You know that old scene from, Wall Street? When Gordon Gekko says to Bud, Bud, he says, you know, everything's about money. Everything else is just conversation.
It seems to be very true. We know Andy Reid's feeling on this, but the rest of the new management there, do you think they believe Cobb is better than McNabb right now?
That's a good question. I know that they like Kevin Cobb quite a bit, but it's very hard to judge any quarterback without a 16-game season under your belt. You know, his body of work is very small. And, you know, Donovan McNabb has been to multiple Pro Bowls and multiple NFC Championship games. But you got to remember this, Michael. Donovan McNabb played so poorly in those last two games against the Dallas Cowboys. You know, the Eagles were embarrassed last year by the Cowboys, losing all three games that they played against them. They averaged 11 points a game against Dallas. And prior to that season, they lost in the NFC Championship game to the Arizona Cardinals. Now, that was not Donovan McNabb's fault in that game. A lot of it could be laid at the feet of the defense in that football game when they lost to the Arizona Cardinals in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago. But, you know, the team president, Joe Banner, said after that game, remind everybody that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. And I think the team was tired of seeing the end of the movie over and over again. The town certainly was tired of seeing it, and they wanted to try something new. And you look at the transformation of this roster. They don't like to talk about it as, quote, rebuilding, unquote. That's the dirty word in any franchise's lexicon. But when you look at what they've done, they have gotten rid of more players than any other team in the league, 12. They've gotten younger than any other team in the league. This was a complete overhaul and transformation, and the last piece of that puzzle that had to go was Donovan McNabb.
Sal, more important than anything, a very happy Easter to you and your family.
Thanks,
Thank
Sal.
You.
See you on SportsCenter.
To compare car insurance rates from top insurers in one easy place, visit Progressive.com today. You could save hundreds. Now that's Progressive.
ESPN.com senior NFL writer John Clayton. John, we saw McNabb go earlier tonight from the Eagles to the Redskins in exchange for a second round pick this year and a third or a fourth round pick a year from now. We never see teams trade big name players within their division. And here's the Eagles trading McNabb to one of their biggest rivals. Why?
Well, because I think that's all they had. I mean, I don't really think that the Raiders were all that much in it. I mean, everything I had heard from Oakland, they were only 20% in. And so now it apparently is so set that the Eagles were so desperate to get rid of McNabb, they're willing to almost give the Redskins a chance to win the division title at their expense in making this move. And so I think it just came down to desperation. I mean, I guess it was pretty clear the way that they handled it. They just wanted to get rid of McNabb, and they didn't want to cut him, obviously, to get no draft choice compensation. But, I mean, from the Redskins' standpoint, there's no question they're the big winners in this one because Dan Snyder has always wanted a franchise quarterback. And now what he gets is the franchise quarterback that's been pretty much one of the most dominant quarterbacks in this division. You know, you get a McNabb that usually meets, you know, like we've seen with Brett Favre, Steve McNair, quarterbacks that have moved on like that, you know, they usually add 5, 6, or 7 points to your offense. And so what that does, it takes the Redskins now to a 22 to 24 point offense and now puts them right toward the top of the division, where the Eagles now have to a little bit of a drop off as they try to develop Kevin Cobb as a starter. I mean, to me, a stunning trade in the standpoint that the Eagles were so desperate to trade him that now when you start to stack up the ratings on how the team's going to be for next year's, you put the Redskins over the Eagles. Amazing.
Yeah, the Redskins did lose half their games last year by a touchdown or less, so McNabb easily could put them right back up there in the playoff on 8, 9, 10 wins. But you talked about how they got the franchise quarterback now. Are you expecting a long-term contract extension news coming in the next couple of days that McNabb's going to stay with Washington?
Oh, I think that'd be easy to expect that he's going to end up signing a 3 or 4 year deal, where maybe he wouldn't have done that being traded to the Oakland Raiders, because I think that one, he's going to like the chance to now go against his team that traded him, you know, the franchise that he came into the league with. I think he's going to like the situation down there. He's going to like Mike Shanahan. So I think all things are set for him to continue to play as a Washington Redskin. And the interesting part of all this is that, you know, you look at the Jason Campbell years, you know, and Jason was one that was always just doomed by low-scoring teams. I mean, you know, when you look through his career, their offense averaged 16.6 to 20 points a game. Now, that's low in league standards to a point where, you know, he's had 39 games that have been determined by a touchdown or less, and he's lost 22 of them. You know, so you know that the Eagles' defense, I mean, the Redskins' defense is always good enough to keep you in the game. Now you add maybe a touchdown a game because of McNabb. Now they're going to start to win these games. And so I honestly think that you can probably see that they're going to go to at the very least 9 or 10 wins. And it's not out of the question with Shanahan, McNabb, Larry Johnson. You know, remember, they also get Russell Okung in this deal because now they, unless somebody takes him in the top three, which would appear to be unlikely, you know, they get the best of all worlds because they get a left tackle in Russell Okung. They now get McNabb with that second round pick, and all of a sudden their offense looks so much better.
ESPN.com senior NFL writer John Clayton is breaking down the Donovan McNabb deal of the Washington Redskins with us. It's All Night with Jason Smith on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests like John appear with us via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. John, you ballparked the number of wins for the Redskins. Ballpark the number of wins for the Eagles now, starting over with Kevin Cobb.
I'd say 7 to 8, because I think what you're going to see is the drop-off that you saw from Aaron Rodgers when he went over to the Green Bay Packers as the starter once they traded Brett Favre. Because remember, Favre came off a 13-win season. He retires, then he decides to unretire, and they basically said, we're moving on. They trade him to a Jets for the second-round pick. Well, one of the problems that you have as a young quarterback, and we see it in just about all the young quarterbacks in their first season as a starter, they can throw for 4,000 yards like Rodgers did, but they don't win the close games. And so now, maybe Cobb's going to come out there, you know, have nice 300-yard games, throw for 22, 23 points a game. But the problem is, I think that you're going to see him not win those close games, because particularly when he's going up against experienced quarterbacks, those experienced quarterbacks are going to do the things that he's still learning to do. So I think that you're going to see at least a 3 or 4 game drop-off, and I think that now puts him toward the bottom of a very good division, depending on where the Giants go this year. So I think that overall, I mean, this is a move where they're basically moving back to try to move forward. But what you wonder when you look at the Green Bay situation, Rodgers has been great, but guess what? The Vikings have won the division for the last 2 years. Now, I think the Redskins have a better chance than the Eagles, maybe the next 2 or 3 years, to be able to win the NFC East.
Now, John, this doesn't just impact the NFC East. The tentacles of this deal just reach out throughout the NFL. We had had Jimmy Clausen ticketed to the Redskins early on in the first round. He's their quarterback now with McNabb with a 2-3 year deal. How does this affect the draft?
Well, it hurts him without question. It's going to cost him money because now it looks like he is not going to go number four. And I do think that the Redskins would have taken Clausen number four over Okung because I think that they weren't going to take Colt McCoy in the second round. So I think that you could see that that would have been the option there. So now he could go outside chance to Kansas City, even though they have $14 million a year invested in Matt Cassel, you know, because Charlie Weiss is there. And certainly, you know, there may be the push to try to say, okay, let's go with Clausen. If not, he could drop to Seattle at number six. They have at least expressed that they would consider taking him at number six or taking a quarterback at number six, even though they picked up Charlie Whitehurst. And then he could fall to Cleveland at seven or Buffalo at nine. So you can see this is costing him money. And even though he's going to try to at least compete to try to be the number one pick, you know that's not going to happen. So I think at the very least, he's going to go between five and nine with no guarantees. I mean, I thought the one guarantee that he had was going to Washington because of Dan Snyder and Mike Shanahan knowing they needed a franchise quarterback. So Clausen's clearly a loser in this.
Now, who could wind up being a winner? I know you think the Brandon Marshall situation could be affected by this deal.
Yeah, because, I mean, right now, I think this helps Seattle in getting Brandon Marshall because the one team that would have been sitting in the weeds would have been the Washington Redskins, and not for a first-round pick, obviously, and the Seahawks are taking the tact that they weren't going to give up a first-round pick to try to get Brandon Marshall from Denver. And so now, with that 37th pick going over to Philadelphia, a team right now that's not looking for a wide receiver, this does help Seattle, who traded, of course, from 40 to 60 in the second round to get Charlie Whitehurst. And so now Seattle is in a little bit of a better spot because the Redskins are clearly, they're down to five draft choices. They're going to take Okung probably at number with their first round pick. And so they're going to be probably out of the Marshall sweepstakes, you know, with a chance that maybe Shanahan could reunite with Brandon Marshall. Don't think that's going to happen right now. So the impact actually hits the Brandon Marshall trade.
Now, John, let's go back to the Raiders here for a second. According to Adam Schefter, the Raiders not happy that McNabb went to Washington, but McNabb made it known he preferred not to go to Oakland. McNabb shot down any potential deal with the Raiders. I can't say I'm surprised about hearing this. Was that enough to just kill it right there that, hey, you're going to trade me to Oakland? Figured I'm not going to go, and you're going to be left with a big mess if you trade me and I won't go there?
Well, I mean, I know that he expressed to them, at least through people, because obviously he was still property of the Eagles and he couldn't talk to the Oakland Raiders, but he was not going to do a long-term deal. I mean, he was going to take the tack. I'll be professional about it. He would have reported. And I still think they were lukewarm in Oakland about making the deal. I mean, clearly they would have been a better team had they been able to pick up McNabb, but in the end they would have only been an 8 or 9 win team because I still don't think that if his 60% completions on that team would have totally turned them around. His impact is going to be so much better on the Washington Redskins, you know, because they can run the ball well. They've got a much better defense than the Raiders. And also, too, he has a desire, McNabb, to sign with them. So I think that that's why they were lukewarm and maybe only about 20-30% into this deal. So clearly they were talking. Clearly Hugh Jackson was pushing for this. He's the offensive coordinator. But in the end, I think they're ready to move on. And I think also, too, what this does open up is maybe, just maybe, the possibility that the Raiders would consider trading for Jason Campbell at a much less lower price, you know, much less of as far as a draft choice compensation. So wouldn't obviously be for a second round pick. So I think that they're fine with this, but I think that certainly the Redskins are elated about this deal.
He's ESPN.com senior NFL writer John Clayton. More on the McNabb deal on the front page on ESPN.com. John, thanks for your time, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Bring in our baseball buddy Buster Olney on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. And Buster, let's start with what you saw last night. You were at Fenway Park as the Red Sox beat the Yankees. What did you see last night that you deemed significant in Game 1?
I think the big question about the Yankees going into the season is going to be their age. You know, Mariano Rivera, 40 years old. Derek Jeter turns 36 this year. Andy Pettit, 37 years old. And catcher Jorge Posada is 38 years old. And in his ability to catch pitches, he's never been great at that. But as time has gone on, it definitely has been more and more of an issue. And last night we saw the score was 7-7. Damaso Marte throws a fastball. It bounces off the middle of Posada's glove, rolls away. Kevin Youkilis scores a tie-breaking run. Look, it's one moment in one game. He may catch every pitch from here for the next month, but it's something worth watching. And I think it's part of the reason why the Yankees didn't get locked into a DH situation. Remember, Posada's contract runs through the end of next year. We saw his problems behind the plate became such an issue that last year they had to separate he and A.J. Burnett because Burnett couldn't put blinders on and dealing with it. But you wonder is if this continues to be an issue, will the Yankees take time behind the plate away from Jorge Posada?
Is it a situation where kid gloves is the wrong term? I mean, with an aging team, it's like you want to massage it to get to the postseason to where you can do your damage. Are they in that type of position?
Well, you know, he was good enough for them to win the World Series.
I mean the whole team. I mean age on the whole team all around.
Oh, well, I don't think there's any question. They're going to ride it out as long as the players are effective, and they were certainly good enough for this entire group to win the World Series last year. But it's interesting. When you talk to scouts with other teams, they're like, you know, one of those guys is going to start getting old. It's going to happen at some point. You know, it might not be 2010, or maybe it will be. We'll see.
We will see. Meanwhile, we will see what happens here as we make our picks. Mike and I are ready to make our picks. Now, usually we will do a whole lot of production and all that stuff, but with all the news out there today, we'll just give them to you straight, and Buster only, you'll tell us what you think. Here are mine. In the American League, I have the Yankees winning the East. I have the White Sox winning the Central. I have the Texas Rangers, you heard me right, winning the American League West. And do you remember where you heard that first, Buster only? You're about to make fun of me. And I have the Red Sox as the American League wild card.
Now, you are banking on the White Sox scoring enough runs. They have great starting pitching. They have a great bullpen. Their offense could be an issue. Ozzie Guillen's going to run that team like crazy. And you know what? As nutty as it sounds, I think your Rangers pick is not that bad. They finished up spring training great. And if all the teams in the American League West play to their potential, the Rangers will win that division because they have this rising group of young players. Kind of had a tough spring with the news about Ron Washington flunking a drug test last year. But Greeny, overall, I think he did well.
You know, I just have two different. I basically have the Yankees in Boston, and Yankees winning in Boston as a wild card. I just like the pitching in Detroit, so I have them winning the Central, and I still have the Angels out in the West.
Now, and you could make a case for Detroit, but I've got them finishing third. You know, I just think they're probably a year or two away with their young pitching really manifesting itself. I will tell you this. You hear a lot about how Johnny Damon, not a surprise, has really lightened up that clubhouse. He's a veteran presence around that team, and everyone who sees Miguel Cabrera, who, of course, had those personal issues at the end of last year, registered a .26 blood alcohol level last weekend of the season in a domestic incident, he seems like he's turned the page.
And neither of us taking the Minnesota Twins to repeat in that division, that was clearly a Joe Nathan decision.
Nathan thing, yeah.
If Nathan was there, I probably would have leaned that way. Let me cut in right there.
Yeah. I think that the Twins, the closer issue, keep in mind, this is not the small-budget Twins of years past. They will get a closer during the year, whether it's Heath Bell or the Padres or somebody else.
We'll see. But Joe Nathan was such a part of that team.
Yeah.
And actually, if you look at his numbers over the last 5 years, they were basically equivalent to those of Mariano Rivera. He was that valuable. So I think he'll be tough to replace. All right, our picks here. National League, I've got the Phillies winning the East. I've got the Cardinals winning the Central. I've got the Rockies winning the West. And, because I wanted to be a little different, I have the Milwaukee Brewers as my wild card. Yeah, I was reading up a bunch of stuff over the weekend. A lot of people whose opinions I respect telling me, or basically saying, don't overlook the Brewers. They're an underappreciated team right now, sort of flying under the radar. I'll take a flyer on them.
Oh, that's interesting. We had the same division winners. I have Philly, St. Louis, and Colorado. I see those that are taking the Reds in the Central over St. Louis. I'm still going to take a red team, but it's going to be St. Louis. I'll go with Colorado, and I'm just hearing too many good things about Atlanta. I'm going to go with them as the wild card.
Golic, clearly you got the last pages of intelligence that were sent out from spring training. Okay? Clearly you've been talking with scouts. You've been talking with people who've actually watched games down the stretch. Greeny, on the other hand, still hasn't gotten that page that showed that the Brewers had the worst starting pitching ERA in all of 2009, in all of baseball.
Yeah, and that's a problem, but it is one that I believe they will overcome.
They'll overcome, because they're a big spending. Oh, no, never mind.
That's
right.
Exactly right. You just watch. You can scoff now,
yeah,
but you
will.
Just watch.
We scoff.
Okay, I'm definitely scoffing.
And you, Buster, if I remember correctly, you took the Rockies to beat the Yankees in the World Series, right?
Yes, I did.
I'm going to take the St. Louis Cardinals to win the National League pennant that should have been theirs a year ago. I don't know what in the world happened to them in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I will take the Cardinals with those two great starting pitchers on top and with Pujols and Holiday there. I will take St. Louis to win the pennant, to beat the Yankees in the World Series.
All
just
right.
To have a little fun, I will take the Cardinals over the Yankees in the World Series.
I'm going to take a wild card team out of the American League. I'm going to put Boston in the World Series, and I'm going to say the Phillies are back there again, and the Phillies beat Boston, and Philadelphia wins the World Series, and I can go back to Philly and get me some cheesesteaks.
Buster?
Well, as you mentioned, I've got the Rockies beating the Yankees. That means that among the three of us, someone is going to be mocked. Two people are going to be mocked at the very least, and we'll probably all be mocked by the end of the year.
Yeah, that's true.
Listen, I think it's a lead pipe blockbuster that you and I will be locked, regardless of whether we wind up being right or not. Buster, thank you. We will check in, you know, at least twice a week, if not more, as the baseball season gets underway.
Thanks, Buster.
See you guys.
ESPN.com baseball insider Rob Neyer. And Rob, we know it's only opening day, but Yankees Red Sox always mean something. What did you take away from the game tonight?
Well, I think looking at the bigger picture, which is incredibly difficult to do on the basis of one game, but I think we're going to see from the Yankees and Red Sox this year what we've been seeing for years now. We're going to see the two best teams in baseball for the most likely, and every time they play, it's going to be almost every time it's going to be a war that lasts between 3.5 and 4 hours because you have.
Just came back from a stay in the movies, man, and you know I got a call.
Teams of solid pitching, but a lot of guys take pitches, and the at bats go on forever.
And it's nice to see that Chan Ho Park hasn't lost his touch despite changing uniforms. Still, someone who came in and really gave up the game for the Yankees.
Well, you know it's funny. He pitched 50 innings of relief last year, didn't get up a single home run in those 50 innings. And then this year he comes in first inning in relief and a home run. But, look, crazy things happen in baseball. Plus, he's going to be facing better hitters than he did last year in the National League. And, I mean, Chan Ho Park is still a useful pitcher, but I suspect that he may not be a fan favorite at Yankee Stadium.
All right, Rob, if I asked you this, which side of the equation would you take? If I gave you to win the World Series, the Yankees or the field, kind of like the whole Masters conversation, if I give you Tiger Woods or the field, if I gave you the Yankees or the field, what are you taking?
Oh, that's easy. I bet on the field. And any spare change that I have, I can make that bet. the Yankees are probably on paper the best team in the American League. They're certainly the best, I mean, and the best team in the American League, by the way, is the best team in the majors, but they're the best team in the American League. But it's not by a lot. I mean, the Yankees are, on paper, a 95-96 win team, and the Red Sox are maybe a game or two behind. And you know what? The Tampa Bay Rays are maybe 5 or 6 games behind the Yankees and the Red Sox. So, the Yankees, I think the Cardinals have a better chance of making the playoffs than the Yankees do just because they don't face the same competition.
ESPN.com senior writer Rob Neyer is with us. It's All Night with Jason Smith on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com. Rob, as we get ready for Monday, 13 games, everybody, you know, gets at it on Monday. What's the one storyline you're looking forward to see how it unfolds the most?
Well, I'm really looking forward to one thing that I enjoy every spring is seeing the hot young starting pitchers that I haven't seen. I mean, the Reds, for example, had this kid, I believe his first name is Steve Leek, who has never pitched professional baseball, except for the Arizona Fall League. Drafted out of college last year, didn't sign until late in the summer, and he's in the Reds rotation, and I really want to see him pitch. I think Jason Hayward, obviously, we're all going to be watching him. Most of us haven't seen him play, at least in a real game, and we're going to get our chance this week. So he's probably the most, until Steven Strasburg comes up, Jason Hayward is the young player to watch.
And selfishly, I'm looking forward to Bob Uecker announcing games with Hayward so we can say, Hayward, isn't he a convicted felon? I don't have that here. Well, I think he ought to be. I'm looking forward to that major league run that we're going to get from Bob Uecker at some point.
I'm sure he's looking forward to it as well.
Hey, Rob, when you take a look at the National League and the Phillies coming off the World Series appearance, obviously are trading Roy Halladay, basically trading in Roy Halladay, getting Halladay and losing Cliff Lee. Did they do enough to stay at the top of the National League?
I think they did. I'm not saying that they're going to wind up with the best record and go to the World Series, but they did do some things this winter to get better, and I think that they had to. Are they better than the Cardinals? I don't know. Maybe not. They're right there with the Cardinals in the 90-win range. But they did what they had to do, and that's put themselves in a really good position to go to the playoffs again this year. That's really all you can hope for.
All right, Rob, give me a team where if they make the playoffs, everybody's going to say, oh, my God, it's a surprise, but it's not a surprise to you.
I don't have one of those teams, but I will tell you this. I think the Indians are going to be a lot better than they were last year. Last year they went 67-95. I have them getting to 500 this year, which would be a huge improvement over last year. And in that division, the American League Central, it's not a great leap from 500 to contending. So it wouldn't shock me at all if they made. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but it won't shock me if they do. And I think it would be a big surprise. They would probably they're probably my favorite sleeper team in terms of from where, getting from where they were last year to where they could be this year.
Is there going to be a division more competitive than the Central?
Well, probably not, because I don't know that any team in that division is super capable of winning more than 85 games, so really anybody's in it except maybe the Royals. I think the American League West could also be competitive like that. I don't see anybody jumping way ahead in that division. And I don't know that more than 6 or 7 games separates the best team from the worst team. So that's going to be a very competitive division. And I think the National League West, same thing. Three teams I see contending in that division.
He's our insider, ESPN.com's Rob Nyer. His blog, The Sweet Spot, appears daily on the front of the baseball page on ESPN.com. Rob, year 5 for you and us here on All Night. Look forward to talking to you all season long.
Going to be fun, as always.
Erin Andrews has been kind enough to drop by during her busy schedule leading up to Dancing with the Stars, which is on tonight, 8 Eastern on ABC. And Erin, I want to begin with something that, once again, you had nothing to do with, and yet ugly news involving creeps out there that were sending emails and whatnot. In a big picture, you okay? Everything cool?
Yeah, everything's good. It was a tough week. Kind of stirred up some old emotions. But hey, if I'm gonna, you know, stay busy, this is kind of the best place to do it. You don't have any time to breathe here. You're in a dance studio 6 to 7 hours. So if something was gonna happen, this was the best time, just because you don't really have a choice if you can deal with it or not.
Yeah, I just think it's patently unfair again that just something you had nothing to do with becomes a news story. But I'd much rather focus on the fact that you went out there and killed it again. And you were begging for votes on our show. Please get the vote out. I don't think you need to worry about that. It's obvious that you've got the goods out there. That Florida dance team serving you well.
Well, I don't know about the goods, but, I mean, it really shows that votes, you really, really need them. Because Pam Anderson, who I thought, well, she was fourth. She was right behind me. I mean, she's in the bottom two. And I got to tell you, I have never felt like I was going to vomit. As bad as we were like, my partner and I were the last four up there. And they don't do it by scores. They do it just to mess with your head. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, I'm going to vomit. Like, it's all coming up right now. It's a horrible feeling.
Erin Andrews joining us here. Sweat last week,
yeah,
vomit
exactly.
This week.
Yeah, sweaty feet now. And puke. That's the way to endear yourself to the fellas.
I'm still a little worried about that Nicole Scherzer there, Max Scherzer's wife, I believe, from the Pussycat Dolls. Do I have the name right?
No, it's Schwarzenegger.
Scherzinger, and I don't think she's married, but hey, good job.
No, I was just, we're trying to get her name wrong on purpose to
I'm
detour.
Kidding.
Well, I'm just afraid.
You.
I'm afraid of her for you. She put on quite the show again. Can you see when you're there, and they call it the celebrity aquarium, can you just see how much more natural it is for her than everybody else? I mean, it's kind of scary.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, my kind of attitude is, why are we playing the rest of the game? I mean, this is how I am sometimes during college football. I'm like, why are we playing? Just give them the national championship now. The chick is amazing. She's flawless. She's as good as the other pro dancers. And, but I mean, you know, I do have to give everybody else a little credit. We don't do this for a living. I mean, the only thing I kind of pride myself on is if, you know, I had to give an injury update versus somebody else in 15 seconds, I would nail that. I would get all 10 for that. So.
Now, when you go through your routine, when does it go to the point, like, and I thought you did a great, now I like the first week was bad, but you like really did such a great job last week.
Aww.
But when I'm watching you rehearse, like, how does it go from rehearsing, learning, hating rehearsing, being so annoyed, never thinking you're going to be able to get it done, to then it clicking, and now it's second nature, and you're not thinking as much out there? Because that whole evolution of the dance from week to week has to be one of the more frustrating things to kind of figure out.
It is, and like, especially coming off the elimination last week, you know, I went into practice going, all right, I'm going to kill this, like, I'm going to nail this, this is going to be sick, and I just, the first couple of days I wasn't, and I was having a really bad attitude, and then, you know, you start to learn it, you feel better, and you know, Saturday comes, and it's like, okay, if I don't have this perfect, I'm going to really be upset. And so then, you know, yesterday we came here to the studio, we blocked it a little bit, and then today we have to go through it 2 more times before the show tonight. So usually by Sunday, Monday, I start to feel pretty good about it.
It's Erin Andrews. She's joining us here with Ryan Russillo. I'm Scott Van Pelt. It's ESPN Radio, Dancing with the Stars, 8 Eastern. Massive show, insanely popular. And, Erin, you've done well thus far. And I asked last week if you could give us a sneak peek in what the folks will see. So give us your best Cliff's Notes of what tonight's routine is.
Oh, gosh. If I pull this off, if I haven't been in the news enough already this past week, I will be in it again. My partner, we had to tell a story this week, and mine is going to be about trusting him. And if I am able to execute this the way he wants me to, people will be talking about this. I think he kind of figures that Nicole has it in the bag dancing-wise, so he's trying to pull out all the tricks to get us a leg up. So that's the most I can tell. I'm nervous. I have to kind of get my tomboy out of me and kind of get my va-va-voom going. We'll see how that goes. I mean, it's not like anything's up against us tonight. Dude Butler, what? Yeah. I mean, what?
What are you?
I'm dying to tell you this, by the way. These are the people I'm with right now. I love these dancers, but they don't understand where I'm coming from. We're watching Michigan State the other day in the dance studio. I pulled away to watch it on the computer, and one of the dancers, God bless him, walked up and said, "Wow, that's the busiest college basketball game I've ever seen."
Busiest.
I was like, this is Final Four, buddy. It's a big deal.
I'm still stuck on what exactly it is you're alluding to that's going on tonight.
Yeah,
and this trust, like, is it full on hookup? Like, what is this? What's happening on the dance floor? What are you talking about?
I can't say. We've managed to keep it quiet this whole time. If I'm able to execute this, oh gosh.
Are we thinking sequel to Demi Moore's thing there that she had with Burt Warren? Like, what are we looking at here? Are we allowed? Do we go earmuffs with the kids?
No earmuffs, okay. But maybe
settle down. Blindfold? Settle down. Settle down.
Okay, I'll change course here. I do want to finish with this because Scott and I have inquired, we've queried you on the lady with all the kids that was on TV, and she freaked out a little bit last week. And
she's insane.
Yeah, and her teacher quit on her, but it seems like you found a way to not you, but they found a way to repair that. What's the latest with the lady that Scott and I are rooting against?
Well, Kate Goslin, she's actually pretty cool. Everyone was really stressed out last week. I mean, shoot, I even got into a little tiff with my partner. They showed that and me belching. I mean, can I get more attractive?
At least you're not crying, though.
What's that?
At least you're not crying. I think America would rather see you belch than cry.
Not yet. No, she's all good. I guess they're good to go. She's got her little story tonight about what her life has been about lately. And, so she's good to go. They're still together. That's good.
She's got sweaty feet. She burped. She almost puked last week. And tonight, who knows? Why watch Duke Butler? Because EA and her partner are going to do something potentially very, very tawdry and scandalous. Whatever it is you're trying to pull off, you can do it. We've got your we got your back. We got faith in you, Erin. Thanks for being with us, and go out there and kill it tonight.
Thanks, boys.
Our pleasure.